May you be glorified tonight in everything that is said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, have a seat. My name is Cindy Fulton, for those of you that don't know me. I have two announcements before I get started. Nice to see everybody. The first announcement is on October 30th in your schedule. It says TBA, and what that means is to be announced. So we're telling you now what we're going to do that night. It's going to be kind of a continuation of tonight's teaching, and it'll be entitled Thankful for Friends. So there's going to be fellowship, food, and all kinds of wonderful things. You're not going to want to miss that. And then also, we now have flyers out for Nothing is Too Hard for God. This is the triplets testimony. Susan Walters is a part of those triplets. And that's going to be Friday, November 8th at 7 p.m. right here in the sanctuary. And that's a beautiful, wonderful story. You won't want to miss their testimony. Okay, so tonight we're going to look at the topic of friendship. And as I was preparing this teaching, I thought of the friendship of Lucy and Ethel on the I Love Lucy show. Those of you who are laughing probably remember that show. It was first aired in 1960, so some of you didn't see it, but it was fun to watch. Lucy and Ethel didn't have a perfect friendship, but they had a pretty good one. They helped each other, and Ethel was always willing to help Lucy with her crazy schemes. They were loyal to one another, and they made time for each other. It seemed like they were at one another's house every day. Well, neither one worked, and they were neighbors, so that made it easy. But that show was made almost 60 years ago, and things have changed, haven't they? It seems like it's more difficult to cultivate good friendships in our world today. We're busier than ever. Many of us don't have time or make the time that friendships require. Also, in our culture, independence is highly valued, so friendship can be seen by some as optional rather than needed. Even the word friend has been redefined by social media. A friend can now mean someone who reads my Facebook rather than someone I share my life with. We are more connected to one another through social media and through our phones than ever before. But true friendship is more than that, isn't it? It is a connection of the heart. There is an epidemic of loneliness in our world. Some of you sitting in this room full of women may be lonely and no one knows it. We were created to have deep relationships, first with God and then with one another. So tonight we're going to look at what the Lord desires to see happen in our friendships. We'll talk about the qualities a godly friend has, the ways we can make and keep friends, and things that can damage friendships. Finally, we'll look at who gets to be called the friend of God. There are many good quotes describing what a friend is, but my favorite definition that I found is a very simple one. A friend is a person you know, like, and trust. I think it sums it up pretty well. A friend, of course, is someone you know. Some friends we know better than others, but our knowledge of them will grow as our friendship grows. And a friend is also someone we like, isn't it? And as we get to know them more, often that like turns into love. And a friend is also someone we can trust. It is very difficult to have a friendship with someone you don't trust. The word friend is used in a lot of different ways with different meanings. Let's look at the different levels there are to friendships. We may refer to someone as a friend that is a coworker that we've known for a year. Or we may have a friend at church that we regularly get together with and we know each other pretty well. Or we may have a friend that we've known for many, many years. This is the kind of friend that you share your innermost thoughts with. Well, these relationships are all called friends, aren't they? But there's a difference between them. There are different levels or depths to our friendships. There are many ways of describing the levels of friendship, but I liked one author's description of it. They describe friendship as having three different levels: casual, close, and intimate. The first level is casual friendship. Now, this can be the beginning of a deeper friendship, or it can just remain casual. Not everyone we spend time with will become our best friend, and that's okay. This type of friendship is the one I described as the coworker you have known for a year. A casual friendship usually begins when you have something in common with each other. For example, you work together, your children are in the same class, or maybe you're in the same Bible study. Once you no longer have something in common, your friendship may or may not continue. In order for this type of friendship or this level to continue and to deepen, it's going to require an effort and a commitment on both of your parts in the friendship. Not all casual friendships blossom into something deeper, but they can. The second level is close friendship. This is the example I gave of someone you know from church that you get together with on a regular basis. You have common interests and you know each other pretty well. This is a friendship you are committed to and you want it to continue. It could deepen into an intimate friendship, or it could just remain at the level of a close friendship. The last is an intimate friendship. We probably don't have very many intimate friends. The friends that you can reveal your whole heart to, they give you complete freedom to be yourself. This type of friendship might be described as a forever friend or a best friend. Or as Anne of Green Gables described it when she said, a bosom friend, an intimate friend, you know, a really kindred spirit to whom I can confide my inmost soul. Can't you just see her saying that? To have an intimate friend is a great blessing. I wonder how many people can say they have an intimate friend or even close friends. I think in our busy world today, there are many lonely women longing for a close friend. Why is there such a lack of close friendships, even among some Christians? Well, some of the reasons that come to mind are lack of time, not making friendship a priority, and also living in a culture that stresses independence and selfishness. But tonight, I want to look at a different reason we can struggle with friendship. That reason is our goal and purpose for friendship may be different than the Lord's. You may not have ever thought about what goals you have for your friendships. You just want to get together for lunch or go shopping and enjoy one another. But it's good to stop and ask ourselves, what does the Lord want to happen in my friendships? Godly friendships have their foundation in the Lord. We need his help in making the right kind of friends and growing closer as friends. The more we bring the Lord into our friendships, the more blessed they will be. Well, what does the Lord want to see in our friendships? First of all, love. It's not surprising to hear that love would be his goal for our friendships. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times." But notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say a friend is loved at all times. That would put the emphasis on the love we receive. It says a friend loves at all times. That puts the emphasis on the love we are to give our friends. We are to love them at all times. That will require us to depend on the Holy Spirit in our friendships. Only He has that kind of love, that unconditional and constant love. How well do you love your friends? Another goal or desire the Lord has for friendships is that we help one another grow in Christ. Proverbs 27:17, it's a familiar verse to many of us. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Godly friends can play a big part in helping us grow more Christ-like. They know us well, they love us, and they can speak into our lives in ways that others can't. And we can encourage their growth as well. Do you actively seek to encourage spiritual growth in your friends? Are there friends in your life that care about your walk with the Lord? If you don't really have friends that encourage you in spiritual things, be that kind of friend to others. But also ask the Lord to give you a friend that will come alongside and cheer you on in your spiritual walk, that will care about how you are growing in Christ. The third goal for our friendships is given by Jesus in John 15, 12, and 13. Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Jesus was getting ready to die on the cross for our sins when he told his disciples that. He loved us when we didn't deserve his love. He died for us when we didn't deserve his sacrifice. And he asked us to love and serve our friends as he loved and served us. He is calling us to be a friend first, not just to seek in having friends. Our primary goal should be not what we can get from a friendship, but what we can give. All of us can slip into having selfish goals for our friendships. The flesh is always thinking about itself and tries to get us to put our needs first. But the foundation of our friendships is Christ. He is our example of how we are to love our friends. Well, how are we to have friendships that look like what the Lord desires them to be? What are the qualities of a good friend, a godly friend? Well, there are many qualities of a godly friend that we could talk about. The list is long. What I've done is put the qualities into four general categories. It isn't an exhaustive list, but hopefully it represents the main qualities a godly friend will have. The first quality is to be led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit living through us in all areas of our lives. But in friendships, as in any area, we can be tempted to live in the power of the flesh, can't we? Friendships can be something we just do rather than something we pray about. For example, we get together with a friend for coffee. We enjoy one another's company and then we move on. We've had a nice time. But what if we prayed about our time with this friend? What if we asked the Lord to direct our conversation and give us greater spiritual fellowship? I've done friendships both ways, in the power of my flesh and in depending on the Holy Spirit. It makes a difference when we pray before spending time with friends. It's inviting the Lord into that time, and he makes everything better. I still don't always do this, but I try and pray before spending time with a friend. I may ask the Lord to give me wisdom or a word of encouragement for her. I ask him to steer our conversation into spiritual things so that we can have true fellowship. When we pray, we invite the Lord into our friendship and we admit that we need his help. A godly friend is one who is led by the Holy Spirit. Along with this, she is also empowered by the Spirit. What qualities come to mind when you think about what a godly friend is? Well, some of them may be unconditional love, patience, kindness, she's forgiving, always ready to help. The list goes on and on. We want those qualities in our friends, but we need to possess them as well. I don't know about you, but I don't even begin to have all those qualities. But I know who does. The Holy Spirit has all those characteristics and more. It's the Spirit that provides the beautiful qualities of a godly friend. If we lack love or forgiveness in our friendships, it may just mean that we're depending on our flesh rather than the Spirit. None of us have arrived. And we will all continue to struggle with the flesh on and off. But our prayer should be that the Holy Spirit will live through us in our friendships more and more. The second quality of a godly friend is they seek to help others grow spiritually. We love our friends, we enjoy spending time with them, but are we actively seeking to help them grow closer to Christ? Are we a spiritual cheerleader to them? One of the books I read put it that way, and I like that, a spiritual cheerleader. This goes back to the desire that God has for our friendships, that they will help us grow closer to Christ and more like him. Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works." Well, how do we encourage our friends to love and to do good works? One of the best ways is to pray for them. You're probably already doing this. Your prayers for your friends are important. Also, let your friends know that you are praying for them. It is so encouraging to have someone text or call me and say that they are praying for me. I feel loved and supported by a friend that cares enough to take the time to pray for me. Another way to encourage our friends to grow spiritually is to serve the Lord together. I remember one time wanting to bring a meal to someone who was ill, but I didn't have very much time. So I asked a friend who also knew this person if she would help me. She was glad to help, and we had a blast. We had the joy of doing this meal together, driving back and forth together, and I didn't have to do it on my own, and it was a wonderful way to serve. And we become closer as friends, and we help each other grow spiritually too. There are countless ways we can serve the Lord with our friends and grow spiritually as a result. Well, there are many more ways we can encourage one another in our walk with the Lord, but the last one I want to look at is using our words to encourage spiritual growth. First of all, tell your friends how much they mean to you and how they bless your life. Proverbs 27:5 says, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love." That verse has always convicted me. Some of you are very good at doing this, but it is an area I really need to grow in. I love my friends and I admire so many things about them, but I don't tell them enough. Share what you admire and appreciate about them. Tell them how blessed you are to have them as a friend. And this is important. Point out where you have seen them grow spiritually. So often, all we see is the negative about ourselves or what we're not doing. If someone comes along and says, "Hey, I've noticed you grow in this area," it is so encouraging to hear that. To have a friend that does not hide her love but shows it is a great treasure, and to have a friend that will encourage you in what you're doing right and how you're growing is a great treasure indeed. Okay, the second one is exhort a friend when a sin is affecting her walk with the Lord. Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." We all have blind spots and things we don't see about ourselves. It is a godly friend that is willing to point out sin that is hindering a friend's walk with Christ. It is done in love and in the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it's a difficult thing to do, but if the Lord is leading you to point out a sin in your friend's life, then you are helping her grow spiritually. The third way we can encourage friends with our words is to speak words of wisdom. Proverbs 27:9 says, "Oil and perfume make the heart glad, so a man's counsel is sweet to his friend." A friend can have great influence, can't she, in the advice and the counsel she gives. A godly friend will encourage spiritual growth in others by speaking words of wisdom. Wisdom comes from the Lord and from His Word. So a heart that is being fed by God's Word will be able to share His wisdom with others. Well, another important quality of a godly friend is to be committed to the friendship. When a friendship is just beginning and at the casual friendship level we talked about earlier, there will probably not be a commitment yet. It's more of a friendship based on convenience than commitment. You see each other, you like each other, you spend time together because you have something in common. But after that in common thing ends, then it'll take a commitment on both of your parts for that friendship to deepen into a close friendship. But if you want to keep and deepen the close friendships that you have, even those require a commitment. Have you ever tried to be friends with someone that is not committed to the friendship? It doesn't work, does it? Both of you need to be committed. When someone is committed to cultivating a friendship, they will make time for it. There are so many things competing for our time. There are seasons in our lives, too, when we are not able to give the time to our friends that we would like to. It's a good idea when those seasons come up that we let our friends know we're going to make time for them just as soon as we can. And explain the reason why you can't spend time with them right now if something's going on, so they don't misunderstand. But being committed enables you to stay in a friendship even when there are difficulties. And in any relationship, there's going to be a difficulty along the way. If we see friendships as disposable, then when there's a problem, we just move on to the next friend. And don't you see that happening a lot? There's no commitment to stay and work things out. We can see the need to be committed to our marriages, our jobs, our families, but commitment is also needed for our close friendships. The older I get, the more precious my friends become. Good friends are not easy to come by, and we should do everything we can to keep them. The last quality of a godly friend we'll look at is she is trustworthy. We have to be able to trust our close and intimate friends, and they need to be able to trust us. We share our secrets, our lives, and our hearts with one another. A godly friend protects what she has been told by others. We open up to our close friends and share things we might not tell other people. We need to know that they will respect and protect what we have shared. When we know we can trust a friend in this way, we can be more vulnerable and share our heart with her. Also, to be trustworthy is faithful, to be faithful, to be someone who can be counted on. She is a woman who keeps her word. Okay, let's move on to making friends. And the first part of this is choosing friends wisely. Proverbs 12:26 gives us a warning about choosing the wrong friends. It says, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." Sometimes our friends are not followers of Christ, or they aren't serious about their commitment to Christ. We have to be careful about our choice of friends because they have a great influence on us. Proverbs 22, 24, and 25 also gives another warning about the friends we choose. It says, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul." This verse warns us that we can adopt the bad behavior of a friend. God tells us to be careful in our choice of friends. They can point us to Christ, or they can influence us to do wrong. Scripture not only warns about choosing the wrong type of friend, it also tells us of the blessings from the right kind of friend. Proverbs 13:20 says, "He who walks with the wise will be wise." What a blessing to be around women who are wise. You learn from them. You see how following wisdom has benefited their lives. I've also learned a lot from reading books and the biographies, especially of Christian women. It's kind of a way of walking with the wise, but through books. In choosing friends, remember, a friend is a gift from God. Recognize the Lord wants to help you choose your friends. Sometimes we hit it off with someone and we think, oh, they would make a great friend. So you try to get together, you try to plan lunch, but nothing ever happens. Well, maybe the Lord is closing the door on that friendship. Also, look around to see who God has already placed in your life. You may not know them well, but already you have a connection with them. It could be a woman that's a casual friend, and you can reach out to her and deepen that friendship. It might be someone you have something in common with, like a similar hobby. The Lord can bring us friends in many different ways. It's important to let Him direct us and help us choose the friend He knows that will be best for us. In making friends, it's important to be willing to initiate the friendship. I love this quote on friendship that I read. It said, Let us be the first to smile, the first to speak, and if necessary, the first to forgive. Someone has to make the first step towards another to begin a friendship. Well, what if you are shy and feel awkward talking to women you don't know? I think that describes a lot of us, including me. There are women that are just outgoing, friendly. They never meet a stranger. I wish I was more like that. But for the rest of us, how do we move outside of our comfort zones and reach out to others? I struggled with this for years, and I'd like to share a little part of my story. I became a Christian in 1980 when a friend from work invited me to church. After trusting in Jesus as my Savior, I began to attend the same church as my friend. So her friends became my friends. I didn't really have to work very hard at getting new Christian friends. Then my husband and I started attending Calvary Chapel. I think it was in 1992. I liked my new church, but my close friends were back at my old church. It was a whole new world of walking into a room full of women and not knowing anyone very well. I was scared, nervous, and very insecure. But if you looked at me, you might not be able to tell how I was feeling. You might only see the wall I had put up to hide those feelings. Back then, when I would walk into ladies' Bible study, I remember just looking down and quickly finding a seat. I was even afraid to look up at people. I'm pretty sure I did not initiate any conversations. I was waiting for other people to approach me. And so I waited. There were women that were friendly and that reached out to me, but I was having trouble making friends like I'd had at my previous church. Looking back, I probably wasn't very approachable. I wasn't in any small groups, and I wasn't serving anywhere in the church. And this went on for a couple of years. I kept in touch with friends at my previous church, but I missed having friends at my new church. It was a painful time. It seemed to me like everybody already had friends, and I just didn't fit in. And so I kept waiting. I had my eyes on myself, and my insecurities seemed to grow stronger. And I'm sure the flesh and the devil chimed in to tell me that there was something wrong with me. There was also a temptation to point my finger at other people. I kept waiting. And over time, I also started praying. And I asked the Lord for help. And I was very surprised at his answer to my prayer. He clearly told me, "It is time to stop waiting, Cindy, for others to make the first move. I want you to do that." He showed me how my eyes had been on myself and not on others. He began to show me the good he wanted to bring out of my pain. The pain of not having friends at my new church was teaching me compassion for others that were new. The Lord began to help me go from waiting to watching. What I mean by that is I began to look around for others who were new or by themselves. When I realized what the Lord was asking me to do, I was scared to death. I didn't know how women would react. I feared rejection, and I wasn't sure what I was going to say to them. But the Lord was clear. He was asking me to make the first step towards others. And he wanted me to trust him as I took the step of faith. So I began to watch instead of wait. I began to introduce myself to others and started looking around for someone sitting alone so I could talk to them. The more I put my focus on reaching out to others, the less I thought about my insecurities. They're still there. If I put my eyes back on myself, and sometimes I still do, they'll come right back. But as I reached out and looked at how I could minister to others, they weren't as strong as they were before. I remember one night I noticed a woman sitting by herself, and I went over and sat by her. We talked for a bit, and she told me it was her first time attending Bible study. I was so blessed to be able to sit by her and help her feel welcome. I don't ever want to go back to waiting for others to approach me. Being focused on myself only made me sad and miserable. I now get to see the Lord use me, even with all my fears and my insecurities. Over the years, the Lord has given me some dear friends at this church. I have grown in my walk with the Lord and experienced joy as I obeyed Him and reached out. And I don't always do that and do this, but it's my goal to try to do it more and more. I love how the book, Messy, Beautiful Friendship, by Christine Hoover, puts this. She was explaining how to be a friend rather than just waiting for friendships to happen. She said, there are two different ways people can go about making friends. You can either say, here I am, or you can say, there you are. Let me explain what she meant. Some of you probably already know. But picture yourself coming into a room full of people. If you walk through the door and say, here I am, what does that mean? Well, it probably means your eyes are on yourself and you wait for others to approach you. But what if you walk through that door and say, there you are? What does that say? It means you are looking out at others and making the first step towards them in love. Taking the first step towards others will look different for each one of us. For you, it may be the Lord is asking you to put away your phone in a group like this when you first come in and make conversation with someone. Or He may ask you to speak up in your discussion group, even though it makes you very nervous. Or He may be asking you to sit by someone who is all alone at Bible study. What is your response when you walk into a room? Is it, here I am, or is it, there you are? The Lord will grow us each into a there you are kind of person because that's who He is, and He lives in every Christian's heart. Well, there's some practical ways to make friends. These are things we probably already know, but it's good to be reminded of some things. The first one sounds kind of obvious, but it's not as easy as you may think. It's to show an interest in others. When we come into a large group, there's a temptation to focus on ourselves. I just shared how I used to do it and can still do it if I fall into that. We all have full lives. We come from busy days. We might not be feeling good. We might be in the middle of a trial, and we're thinking about what's going on with us. But if we ask the Lord to help us reach out to others and be interested in them, He's going to help you do that. Sometimes when I walk into church, the last thing I want to do is reach out to someone. I mean, I'm in a big trial, or I'm not feeling good, or I just feel empty, like I have nothing to give. But I'm learning that if I ask the Lord, Lord, fill me up with Your love, help me to reach out to others. And when I begin to do that, pretty soon I am feeling so much better. Because as we reach out to others, our own problems diminish, don't they? We take our focus off ourselves, and we begin thinking about others. And as you talk to other women, you see everybody is fighting a battle. It makes you more compassionate for them. The second thing that we can do to help make friends and show people that we care is to ask a few questions and listen to the answers. Some may say, I am interested in others, I just don't know what to say. We don't have to be great at making conversations to make friends. We don't even have to be experts at small talk. Showing someone you care is one of the best things you can do in making friends. I think we all know the difference when we talk to someone who really cares what we have to say and someone who doesn't. And it does make a huge difference. They don't have to say a wonderful thing or anything like that. Just showing us that they care draws us to them. So asking a few questions and listening well is a great way to show you care. And share something about yourself, too. We don't want people to feel like we're interrogating them when we just ask question after question. It's a give and take. This is also, as you ask questions and talk to people, is how you find out that you have common interest with one another. I have friends that love to hike, and our friendships have grown through our hiking adventures together. I have other friends that wouldn't be caught dead on a hiking trail, but what we do is we hike through the stores looking for a good deal because we love to shop. So As you talk to people, get to know people, you see that you have common interests. You begin to click with somebody, and that's how a friendship starts. Okay, these are some ways that we make friends, but it is so important that we keep the friends that we've got, isn't it? So let's talk about that next. All of us have probably had a friendship or two that we no longer have. There are many reasons why our friendships end. So let's look at some ways that we can help ensure our close friendships continue. First of all, we've talked about this earlier, it requires commitment. Even our close friendships require both friends to be committed to remaining friends. It's good to stop and evaluate if you have made a commitment to your friendships. Being committed to a friendship means that you're going to put in the effort that it takes to keep the relationship going. A friendship is a wonderful thing, but it does require time and effort and work to maintain. It just doesn't happen. Along with a commitment, we need to make time for our friends. This is a big obstacle, I think, in a lot of women's lives. There isn't much time left over after you shop and work and take care of your family. There's a great temptation, and I've heard women say it, I just don't have time for friends. But I think that is so, so sad because friends add so much to our lives. And if you're in that situation, ask the Lord to help you to find time to make friends. I have found that I have to set aside time for friends, or it just won't happen. Days, weeks, even months can go by before we realize, hey, I haven't seen so-and-so. So it's something that you have to purposely sit down, put on your calendar, or life just flies by, and these friendships can, they can go away if we're not careful. Or friends can misunderstand, feel hurt. All kinds of things can happen. So we really need to be committed to them and also to make time for them. And since we tend to have full lives, I've found it helpful to invite my friends into everyday life. What I mean by that is just the ordinary activities that we have to do as women. If you invite a friend to do them with you, it makes them more fun. You can exercise or take a walk together or even run errands together. I've had friends call me, hey, I'm going to this store, do you want to go? And it just makes things more fun to do them with friends if you can. Christmas is going to be here before we know it. We can bake Christmas cookies together. Or I even thought of having friends over and wrapping all of our gifts together. I hate wrapping gifts. But if I did them with my friends, or maybe I know one friend in particular that's really good at doing that, so I think I'm going to invite her and have her help me. She even knows how to make bows. And so anyway, but anything that we have to do just in our regular life is more fun when we do it with a friend. And it's a way that we can make time for them and not have to set aside a special time for them, but just include them in what we're already doing. One of the best ways to spend time with friends is serving the Lord together. Recently, I was talking with a few friends, and I asked them, hey, where are you going to serve at the chili cook-off? Well, we all decided to serve at the same place, and we had a blast. It was fun serving with them. So if you're having trouble making time for friends, ask the Lord to give you creative ways you can include them in your everyday activities. Good friends are priceless, and in the midst of our busy lives, maintaining friendships is going to take time and commitment. Okay, let's look at things that can damage friendships. We just mentioned a couple of big reasons that friendships can be damaged. It's lack of commitment and neglect. Another thing that can damage friendships is unrealistic expectations. If we are constantly hurt by our friends, or we frequently hurt them, we should look at our expectations. If we expect a friend to get together with us more than she has time to, then we will be disappointed. But if we verbalize our expectations and talk about them to the friend, we can work it out and come to an understanding. The problem is sometimes we don't know we have expectations, do we? We just know we're hurt and disappointed. Or we misunderstand and take things personally. Instead of recognizing our friend doesn't have time to meet us that often, we may think she doesn't want to. And that kind of thinking leads to hurt feelings and pulling away from friends. Friendships can get complicated because people are complicated. We're complicated. So if we recognize unrealistic expectations, we can correct them. Also, along with that, a lack of communication can also damage friendships, like it can damage any relationship you have. It's important to communicate with our friends. The more we communicate, the less chance there is for misunderstanding. And sometimes we think, oh, she knows, or, you know, but maybe she doesn't. Maybe we need to tell her and explain it. Another thing that can happen that damages friendships is gossip or a friend that doesn't keep confidences. Proverbs 11:13, a gossip goes around telling secrets, but those who are trustworthy can keep a confidence. I like what Bill McDonald said about this verse. A faithful friend knows how to maintain a confidence and to refrain from talking. That's important. We know gossip is wrong, but we also have to be careful about sharing too much of what a friend has told us in confidence, don't we? If you're not sure you should share something, keep it to yourself. It's not worth taking a chance and hurting your friend or the friendship. Or ask your friend, is this okay if I tell other people about it? Our close friends are going to tell us things that they don't share with other people. And they might not want us passing that information on. We've probably all experienced the pain of having a friend share something we didn't want them to. It is a betrayal of the trust that we had in them. A faithful friend knows when to refrain from sharing what others have told her in confidence. Well, there are other ways friendships can be damaged, probably a lot of them, but the last one we'll look at is a lack of vulnerability. Some reasons we don't open up may be past hurts in a friendship, or we can have walls because of pride or insecurity, or our fierce independence makes it difficult for us to receive from others. Our friendship will not deepen as it could if we aren't willing to be vulnerable with one another. This means we share our struggles, our fears, and how we are really doing. It means telling when we tell our friend about a need and if they can help, then allowing them to fill that need. This is an area I really struggle with. I am grateful for friends that have been so patient with me, but it is hard for me to open up, share needs, and then let other people minister to me. But I want to grow in this area. When we won't allow our friends to see our need and help us, we can push them away. To be open and vulnerable draws them closer. Well, I want to end our discussion on friendship by talking about the most important friendship we can have, and that's friendship with the Lord. We may know God as Father, Savior, and more, but do we know Him as friend? Jesus called us His friends. In John 15:15, Jesus said, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." This statement Jesus makes is astounding. He calls every believer his friend. He doesn't say, "You will be my friend someday when you grow a little bit more spiritually." He doesn't say, "Would you like to be my friend?" He says, "You already are his friend." The moment we put our faith in Christ as our Savior, we are adopted into his family and become his child. But he also takes us into his confidence. He shares his heart with us, and we become his friend. Would you say you are enjoying a friendship with the Lord? As with any friendship, both of us have a part in it. Jesus tells us what our part in our friendship with God is in John 15:14. And it says, This is Jesus talking. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. God did everything in order to make friendship with us possible. He sent Jesus to die and take our punishment for sin. He gives the Holy Spirit to every believer to live a holy life. And he places us in his family forever. Our part in our friendship with him is to obey. Obedience opens the door to enjoy the friendship with God you've already been given. In James 2:23, Abraham was called the friend of God. A few verses prior tell us why Abraham was given this high honor of being called a friend of God. It said he believed God and obeyed him, even when God asked him to sacrifice his son, Isaac. God stopped him from making the sacrifice. It was enough that Abraham was willing to obey. Abraham did not live a perfect life, but it was a life marked with faith and obedience. I love what Psalm 25:14 says. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. Karen shared a couple of weeks ago about the importance of fearing the Lord. When we fear the Lord, we will obey him. Our obedience makes greater intimacy with the Lord possible. For any friendship to grow, your knowledge of one another must grow. God knows all about us. Do we have a hunger to know him better? In knowing him better, we also discover his love for us in a deeper way. The Lord has said he is our friend, but can we say we are a friend to him? We've talked a lot about friendship tonight, a lot of different things. We've looked at what God desires to happen in our friendships and the type of friend he wants us to be. He desires that we love our friends as he loves us, that we be a friend rather than seek friends, and that we take the first step towards others in love and friendship. That may sound difficult to do, but it is more than difficult. It's impossible to do in our own strength, but Christ is willing and able to give us the ability to be the kind of friend he wants us to be. Again, Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times. This love does not originate with us. It is simply God's love that we pass on to others. The more love we receive from him, the more love we have to share. So how do we grow in this area of friendship? Well, first of all, ask the Lord to help you in whatever need you have in friendship. Is it to make new friends? Is it to be a better friend? Is it to deepen your friendship with Christ? Tell the Lord your need and he will help. He stands ready and able to help you with any need that you have. And then secondly, be willing to obey what he asks you to do. It will most likely involve a step of faith, but he will help you even take that step of faith. Being a friend is meant to be lived in dependence on the Lord. But when we rely on him, we enjoy his fellowship, and he gets all the glory. One more song, and then I'll close in prayer.
You guys can stand.
Whoa!